can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
At this time, James, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Okay, we thank you this day we could come and worship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we borrow out our lesson this morning. Let's be with us on later. May we want to need the prayers, especially one of the church, one of the sick, and the ones for the off loved ones. We ask in the name of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 383. 383. We'll do verse 2, 3, and then 1. May we keep in 26, beginning in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Take his bread, represents the body of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Lord, we take his cup, food around, and represents the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we want to give back part of what God has promised us in our work to the church. Amen.
We have 30 present this morning. Today is October 4th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, let's mark our song books at number 668. 668 will be our song of invitation this morning. Once you've got that marked, let's turn to number 580.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, that His hand the wonders from. This is my Father's world, the birds and carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass, He speaks to me everywhere. This is my
You know, we're thankful to have Brother Tom Martin visiting with us today, and having preached here at the congregation at Crockett back in the other building when it was 55 years ago, it is a delight to see him in good health to be able to be here and be a part of the service with us today. I asked him about speaking some things along the way, and he has in class, but he said regarding this, he'd rather hear something. I don't know if he can hear a preacher today or not, but we'll try to do that sort of thing for him. We're in a series of studies regarding the home and family and fathers and mothers and children in regard to the ways of life that we ought to behave. If we have no teaching for our children and they grow up just listening to their friends and just listening to their teachers and just being out here in the general with the general public, they will have a great need for the words of the song that we just sang just a few minutes ago about power in the blood. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's power in the blood. They'll never understand and never know about the power in the blood. And they'll be ruled by passion and pride. Because passion and pride is all around us, even though we may be obedient to the Lord today. We find passion and pride all around us. Passion by way of the advertisements that are done, by the movies that are presented, and by the way of others around about us who talk about their things, prideful ways that they talk about in life. It's a sad thing to have that to be the case, to grow up in those kind of ways around our daily walk of life. And yet, because there is just no conversation held, then that's the way that it's going to be. It's going to happen just like that, because the passion and pride is all around them as young people as they're growing up. They're going to have that to be the rule of the way that they think too. I'll outnumber you in the passion that I can talk about. I'll outnumber you in the pride that I have for the way that things worked out for me. And thus they will be people who set forth a trend by which there's, well, said in the song, murder and mayhem causing trouble and problems. What can we do about that? I had to think back in this lesson regarding my mom and dad and the circumstances in which I grew up. Growing up in Kosciuszko, which is the geographic center of the state of Mississippi, and was considered at one time to be possible for the capital of the state of Mississippi. Jackson, of course, 60 miles south of us, was selected as the capital of the state of Mississippi. But along the way in Kosciuszko, it had a wonderful heritage. At one time it was named Paris. And earlier days and time it was named for the Yakunukanif River that was there and the Choctaw Indians that were there part of that way. Later on it became Kosciuszko in honor of a Polish general that was a freedom fighter. And he, along with Lafayette, came over to America to be a part of the army with General Washington to fight against those who were trying to hold on to a way of life by way of their leadership. And as a result of that, he was training army leaders and army men how to do battle and how to guard themselves in a time of conflict like that. General Kosciuszko. You read about Thaddeus Kosciuszko. He is spelled with a Z. We've taken the Z out of his name now, but Kosciuszko is the name for it now. I grew up in that particular town in that way. When I came out of Kosciuszko High School, I believed I could just do anything that I wanted to do. I could be anything that I wanted to be in life. At that time, I thought, a doctor. And I went to school to study in the chemistry that I was part of. And I was good enough in chemistry to be recognized. And as a result of that, when I went into Fried Hardeman, I became the mixer of the chemicals so that we could do the unknowns for those students that were majoring in that, so that they could go to the unknowns and they could put fire into it and water into it and one thing and another and find out what chemicals were actually a part of that unknown compound that I'd put together. Did the same thing when I went to Delta State and did their work down that way. Along the way, however, I recognized that there were some things that people had in medicine that were just not, they were going to work on my mind. People didn't always take their medicine as they should, as you had prescribed for them to, as studied men had found out in their studies in the research had found out that they needed to do. And as a result, not taking it daily and not taking it hourly and not taking it whatever they were supposed to, they didn't mend well. They didn't improve well. And that would have worried me to death. When they came back and I said, well, what happened to the medicine? Well, it's still sitting on the shelf at the house because he gave me a headache and I didn't take it. Well, why didn't you give me a call and tell me? Well, I could half it for you. I could change it to another kind of medication that doesn't give headaches to people. That's one of the side effects of this medicine. And why did you not call me and tell me? Well, I just didn't. And even if you prescribe something else now, people would do what they can do. They feel better and they don't do it. Again, that passion and pride enters into their lives about their decision making in life, you see. And so the pride of it says, I don't need this, and thus they push it to the side. It would weary me as a medicine man, as a doctor. It weary me that I had worked on them, I had prescribed this for them, and they did not take it and did not improve, not do better. And along the way, Brother Paul was talking to me in regard to making a full-time ministry of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Paul Sparks was a wonderful mentor in that realm. And he was teaching me to do that sort of thing. And as a result, I began to move over into that matter. Got a job out at Milledgeville, Tennessee to preach out that way and had a wonderful relationship there. And then when I went down to Cleveland to be in school down there, I had the job at Ruville to preach there. And for 10 years, we worked the congregation there at Ruval. Two years, we went over to Oklahoma and with Miss Jane and little Bobby. And then we came back to Ruval for another 5-year time. It was a wonderful experience to have and to see that the congregation had grown enough that there was a totally different work the second time than the first time. How about that? But we learned that thing along the way. In the studies that were being done, however, my mom and dad thought that I would just be an accountant and just be a medical doctor if I wanted to be, or whatever I wanted to be. And they thought that I needed to be a Christian person regardless. They said, you need to follow the Lord regardless of what you plan to do to make a living in life. And as a result of that, they would go home and they would say things uniquely like this. Did you enjoy the service today? Did you enjoy the sermon today? They'd say things like, what did you get out of the sermon today? What was said by that preacher today that really impressed you, that really caused you to remember what he said? And as a result of that, I was watching for, and so were they watching for, the things that the preacher said that particular day. And I could go home and talk about the things that were being said and that were being helpful to me. And along the way, they recognized that I needed parts of the Bible. And so, like in Romans 15, verse 4, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so it is that the word written before time were written for our learning. What do you learn from Genesis? What do you learn from Isaiah? What do you learn from Micah? What do you learn from Malachi? What do you learn from the examples that are given in the Bible of Noah's obeying the Lord, building that ark, and escaping that great day of flood? What do you learn from that situation about the king and the situation of the young prophet in 1 Kings 13 who went there and who did call out against that altar like he was told to do and did not eat or drink and was going back home another way when he was deceived by a man saying, I too am a prophet of God and he has sent me to call upon you. He's changed his mind and he'll let you come to my house and eat and drink and be refreshed, and then you go along your journey another way, like you've said that he told you to do. And the prophet believed him in 1 Kings 13, and he went home with him. And he ate and he drank and he enjoyed a conversation with them and the two boys, the old man who said that he was a prophet of God too. He was not. And then he went on his way home, and as he was going his way home, a lion came from the deep, from unknown. Had not been in that part of the country before. All of a sudden was there and slew him along the way. Did not eat him, stood by his side. The old prophet heard about the situation. The boys had come along the way to see. They came and told him about the death of the prophet and how that lion was there, and he went to see. I don't know if he chased off the lion or the lion was just standing there by the side. But he said he wanted to take the young man and bury him and be buried where he was when he died later on. Tender thoughts about that, but here's the idea. He did not obey what God said do. And as a result, his life was taken. The old prophet said it falsely. Come back to me. Come back to my house and come back and enjoy this meal together and come back with this time. I am a prophet also. If it didn't come from God's word and God's teaching, we do not understand that. Paul wrote to the brethren at Corinth about that matter of things written aforetime in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. When he said the things that have been written, the things that have been done that were written for our ensamples, they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Written for our admonition. This is written for our admonition. Do we pay attention to what God has said? Do not listen to a man and do not listen to his way. Do not listen to this preacher. Look in that Bible and see for yourself. And my mom and dad urged that to be done. And as a result of that, I began to preach the gospel there at the home congregation, and all that way worked out. What I'm preaching today is a way of life for us to follow by way of our children and grandchildren as well. What did you hear today? What did you understand today in Bible class and in your study of God's Word from the preacher's sermon today? What did you benefit from? And talk with them in that way of interest about their lives, and tell them that the Lord wanted us to follow His Word. And as they read from the Old Testament, those things were written for our example and our admonition. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. They were written for us to be people who recognize what God's will was and what it is continuing to be, and how we need to be people who obey what He says. Instead of living by our personal pride, listening by our personal vanity in life, we find ourselves listening as God's Word teaches us to follow His will. You know, when we stop and talk about that sort of thing, we're talking about a way of life from our youth on up. And as we're younger listening, we remember what Solomon said about that in Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. He said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come, those old years come, and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in thee." Notice he says these ways of life are can be avoided if you remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Helping them to remember the Creator in the days of their youth is a way for us to live, and a way for us to talk, and a way for us not to give test on the subject, but to give a way of life for them to live by, which we live by. That's what we tried to do at Sarge Lake Christian Camp. We've tried to do that by showing not the way to command, but a way to understand what God's will is for us to behave and to do in life. Listen to what's all in the world. John writes about that in 1 John 2 at verse 15. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of vainglory of life, not of the Father, but of the world. He that doeth these things finds himself away from God and away from His will." What are young people facing, and what do we face in life from day to day? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of vainglory of life. What did Adam and Eve back long ago, what did they face? "Don't look at this," God says. "Do not eat of this fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that you do this, you will surely die." They were people who were going about their work until the devil came along the way and said, "Oh no, he's lied to you. You'll only be as wise as God if you partake of this particular fruit. Go ahead and do this thing." And she looked and saw that it was good for food, and that she partake of it. And he gave her husband, and he did also eat. And here it is, a situation where they were banished from a garden of paradise into a world filled with uncertainty, into which you and I have been born. Because of circumstances of life, we've been born away from that place as well. Yet they could have been there perpetually. The tree of life was one that they missed. They just avoided the tree of life in order to have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But if we don't help them with knowledge and help them with a way of life that they need to have, they'll never gain it. They'll live with passion and pride, for that's all around even us today. And it's certainly all around them as they grow up. One particular illustration before I close this lesson today in regard to this matter. As children grow up, we talk with one another. Children like to talk with children. The best way for a congregation to have extra children is to have children who talk with other children. And as a result of that, they can be people who help out the whole leadership of the church in that way. But in regard to this, they talk about things that are familiar to them and things that are new to them and surprising to them. They may not talk about things in the right kind of words and mannerisms. The words that they fill out their life with may be filled with pride and vainglory, as John writes in 1 John 2:15. All that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride or vainglory of life. That's what we rule by and guided by. And so when children recognize that they're being ruled and guided by that way of life, they often think that it is a fun thing and a joyful thing to talk about. And so the words that are used are words that are colloquial words, common words, words that are fun-filled words. And they're filled with young men and young women as they grow up in life. Instead of talking about the things of life that make a difference, they'll talk about things of life that bring a smile and a joy and a laugh. And there will be danger ahead in that way of life. There will be an automobile that comes up. That automobile will be bought by parents or by grandparents or by the combination of their job and parents or by their own job. And they'll leave the house in a certain speed, in a certain way, and they'll return in a certain way too. Miss Jane will tell you in a minute what I did, what my mom and dad did. When they told me and asked me to please come into home by 10:30 and don't come into home flying until you get to the curve up there at the house. By the way, that curve at the house I got to tell you about. I walked home a lot of times from my work that I was doing. I was doing nighttime. When Friday night took place, I went to ball games in that area of Ethel and McAdams and Kosciuszko and all that. I wrote out the ball game things, and you read a lot of my articles out of the Commercial Appeal and out of the Prince Senator in Memphis and out of the Jackson Daily News and the Clarion Ledger down in Jackson, because I wrote for them. When I got through with the ball game, I went uptown, and the only place on town was for telephone was in a booth there on the square by the side of the courthouse. So I would get up there and I would put a dime in. It would be returned to me because I would call a number that was not chargeable to me. And it would be given back to me. And that was good for me in those days and time to have a dime I could put back in my pocket. But anyway, I'd dial that number and I would get a man who was at this teletype machine. And I could hear the click clacking of it later on as he was getting the names and the mileage, the way that they ran the ball that night and the score of the game and so forth and so on, and read the little details about that particular game. We had a real good team in 1960 that did that, and Michael Jordan was a part of that work, and Michael Nelson, rather, was a part of that work and was very popular in the state and everything. But anyhow, you read the sorts of articles. My name was not ever on there. It was byline. Somebody out here in the country was doing that reporting for them. And so it was a byline type of thing. Today you see the name of the guy who took the pictures. His name is listed under those pictures where he got the picture and put it in the paper and all. And of course everybody's name is listed for any kind of quotations in the paper. But my name was never listed in that regard, but it's on the bylines for you in the 60s. But along the way with doing that particular work, I found myself getting an automobile sometime later on and going home. But I didn't race home. They didn't want me to have an accident and hurt myself or hurt somebody else coming home fast and furious to make my time frame at 10:30. Come home in a reasonable speed. And sometimes my dad would be up at the curve toward our house. I didn't know it, but he would come in the house after I had arrived home, and Mom always met me at the door. How was your night tonight? What went on? Who won this ball game that I went to and covered that night? All that went on in my family and my life. How thankful I am today for it. How grateful today I am for that. Sometime along the way, like I did, Miss Janet, walk up the street and watch the way they come down the highway before they turn to get to the house. Since they knew that that was going to happen after the first time, they didn't come home that way. Do things with your children that let them know you love them and care about them and are guiding them toward the right things for which the Word of God tells us, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, it's written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. There's coming a time when we will end this whole world life activities here. And our young people need to know as well as our parents that there's a challenge coming. There's a judgment day coming. And how we have lived will make a difference with where we will live eternally. God bless you in every way. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today to repent and confess your faith in Christ, be baptized into Him, or to repent and return to Him in prayer, that this opportunity will be yours right now as we stand together and sing this song to go to church.
Come to Jesus, He will save you, though your sin is there. If you give your heart to Jesus, He will make it white as snow.
Service tonight at 6 o'clock, and after that time will be our regular service on the first Sunday at 6 o'clock, and we look forward to having you come back if you possibly can. I'll be wearing my mask this morning again, and I'll be waving at you. I'll not be hugging you and talking to you, close to you as we go along this thing. I hope we can have this pandemic to be past us, and this is one way in which they tell us is a good way to help that not to be around us. I don't know who I may have been around this week that may have had it, and I may have carried it, and I don't know it. That's what they tell me. And so as a result, I'm going to put a mask on to prevent myself passing it along to anybody else today. God bless you in every good way and for good. Thank you for being here today, Brother Martin. I hope the sermon was a sermon for you today. It's good to have you with us. I'll tell you, you know so much about people and remember so well things about people. I know that there are those who live in fear and trembling when you come to visit. Because you can remember the things along the way. And boy, what a time that they've had. But it's really good to see you. If nobody else has you for lunch today, we will have you for lunch today. God bless you.
Turn to number 289.
Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus, take it all to him I owe. Sin has left the crystal stain.
Father, for those who have recovered from the coronavirus, we pray for others who still are suffering from it, such as our president and many other government leaders. We pray for doctors and nurses, Father, that they'll be able to treat this terrible disease in such a way that less and less people will be affected by it. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful men and women of this congregation who have been here 55 years. And those who are still living here, pray for their children, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Pray for those who have remained faithful, that the congregation here might continue on and serve you as they have been doing for many, many years. We pray, Father, for our loved ones who have been traveling off, going off to other places and moved off, that they'll still remain faithful to you. We thank you, Father, for your love and your grace and your mercy. Continue to be with us. God, guard and direct us always. Christ, and we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good to see y'all. Good to be with you. Appreciate you. Can we love him? We do love him. Very much. Good to see you, Tony, once again. God bless, man. Good to be with you. Thank you. Appreciate you. Hello. Appreciate you, Tony. You're doing good. All right. You got all the hay that you can get. Or are you still working on it? Bless your heart. Care on. Take care, Alex. And take care, Howard. Good to see y'all. God bless you. Give away. Good to see you. Good to be with you. Yes. Appreciate you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you. David, good to see you again. Yes, thank you for studying with us. I appreciate you so much. Good to be with you.
Brooklyn? Yeah. I've been there several times.
Just saying. Tell him where we're going today. If he's go with you. Not from where.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah. It's on Main Street.
Mine's in my car. I carry it with me. Yes. Everybody has one.
God bless Miss Mayor Taylor on for good. You look neat today. God bless.
Good lesson today.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate
good
that.
Lesson today. I'm sure it made a lot of us wish we had done things a little bit different.
Listen, along the way, there's a lot of been failures through the years, not you necessarily, but there's just a lot of let them grow. Just let them be. Let them grow.
Yeah.
Idea. And it's just not good.
We had several young men today.
They were listening.
They
were listening. And I hope that we're able to catch it in the heart. Catch it in the heart.
Me too.
God bless y'all in every way for good. God bless
you. You too, man.
You're doing good? Your cows are doing good?
Yeah.
Awesome. Your cows are doing good.
Yeah, my grandson's still making straight A's and in medicine. He is in medicine.
He is in medicine. How about this? Wonderful to hear.
That's good.
Good time. Good way. All right. I loved it. Talking about Floyd?
No.
Brewer.
She's talking about somebody.
Somebody.
I don't know,
cousin,
some kind of different, way down the road cousin.
Okay. All right.
They used to live in my trailer.
Was the Eva Brewer, that's your cousin's mother? Pardon me, is Eva Brewer, that's your husband's mother?
Your husband left, okay.
Yeah, she had cancer, and of course, they have been estranged for a lot of years.
Your mother-in-law.
We didn't know that she was that bad until like 4 hours before she passed.
Yeah, okay.
She had another family.
Another family altogether.
You know, which I'm glad she had.
Sure.
You know. Yeah. But they texted me about 3:30 that afternoon and said that she was on hospice and if we, you know, wanted to come say our goodbyes to come.
Yeah.
So I went up there and she didn't know. She never woke up, and when I left, it was like 2 hours later she passed.
So they had agreement to have
an
agreement.
They cremated her.
They have an agreement to not talk to one another back years ago.
I don't know.
No.
It probably wasn't an agreement. It just, they couldn't be around each other.
Couldn't.
I tried to get them to make amends, and she told me she wasn't ready to make amends, and you can't make somebody do
it. Oh, no, you can't. You can't.
I hate that she passed, you know, and I've only got one picture of her with my youngest child, Carrie. I got one picture. Now, my other three, they were all over each other, you know, when they were growing up.
Yeah.
And then the drug, the youngest boy of hers got into the drug scene, and
that was no
just
good.
Downhill after
no
that.
No good. That's the next
they
lesson.
They didn't get her on the drug.
She had lost a son before that, a few, you know, like probably 10 years before that, and she never really got over it. He was killed in a car wreck, and I think that boy played on that, her being upset. He'd tell her, if you don't do this, I'm going to kill myself, and she couldn't deal with that.
Oh, no. No, we can't deal with that. Good to see you, girl. He'll need some directions as to how to get down Main Street.
Well, I'm not good with directions.
$2,500.